The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm all right. Let's see what we'll do here. Wes Reynolds will join us, talk golf and college hoops. With us a little later on the show, Matt Grissom on college baseball. How about that? A little curveball. Carl Sack on the NBA. Spanky will join us later to talk about the host of the Better Betters. That's not the name of his podcast. It's Better Betters. Is that the name of his podcast?
Be Better Betters. I believe that is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Spanky will be here. He's the founder of Bet Bash as well. He has a contest going on. You want to get into a Major League Baseball handicapping contest? Now that your brackets and Survivor and all that is winding down, you're looking for another contest to play. Spanky's got one over at Spank Odds. We'll talk to him about that a little later on the show. First of all, golf. Minwoo Lee? Yes?
Minwoo Lee!
Nicely done.
Scotty Scheffler, as usual, making the blood pressure medication work. Really putting it to work.
What did you have Minwoo at?
35-1.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was nice outright.
As well. Can we show that tweet? Do we have that tweet ready to go?
We do have that tweet.
It's a VSiN tweet, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this. Congrats to Wes Reynolds. And then in parenthetical aside, and Long Shots co-host Kelly Bidlin on Minwoo Lee at 35-1. So Wes gets the shine. Kelly is a mere, by the way. Kelly also got it.
Always nice to know where you stand, Gil? Always nice to know where you stand.
That's great.
In the parentheses.
Congrats to Gil for fighting a cold. Kelly cured cancer this weekend. It's just so great.
Worked here for 8 years.
Good for you, man. Congratulations to both of you on Minwoo, who you were a little upset was like a little too excited before he shot in his last putt. The little, three-incher?
Yeah, I didn't really spend much time on golf Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a betting thing that maybe I'm just the guy overreacting. But he needed two putts to win. First putt off the green, he puts it, 6 inches away from the cup. But he's celebrating like he won the damn tournament already, where he's still got to make this putt. I don't know. I was a little, I thought it was a little interesting how much celebrating he was doing. He did a little fake, the fake putting stance too, to like line up his putt for the last one. He was like, dude, just tap it in already. Come on.
Well, anyway, congrats to Wes.
Thank you.
And Kelly.
Yeah. Congrats, Wes.
All right. Sweet 16 down to the final four. Hope it went well for everybody. Look, we got the four best teams. I don't think there's anyone who can justifiably disagree with that. Apologies to Texas Tech, to Alabama, you name it, Tennessee, but these are the four best teams. And it's the four best teams any way you look at it, right? The eye test is the four best teams. The betting market, it's been the four best teams. KenPom, it's the four best teams. The formula that we run here on the show, it's been the four best teams. So any which way you slice it and dice it, that's been the case. By the way, the combined records of Duke, Florida, Houston, and Auburn, 135-16 straight up. It is only the second time in the history of March Madness where the top seeds, the number ones in each region, get to the Final Four, 2008 being the other one. Just mentioned 135-16 combined record this year. Do you know what the combined record was in 2008 for those four teams?
No idea.
140-9. They were even better.
Wow.
Straight up. That was the year that Mario Chalmers hit the game-tying three. Kansas was down 9 with less than 2 minutes left against Memphis. Derrick Rose only made one of two free throws, gave Chalmers a chance, or Kansas a chance to tie it up. Chalmers did, splashed it, and then Kansas ran him out in overtime. But that was Kansas, Memphis, UNC, and UCLA that year, and they were 140-9 headed in to the Final Four. So, and by the way, I looked at it, KenPom this year, just again, a historical comparison, this group of four, Duke 1-4, adjusted offense defense, Houston 10-1. Florida 2-10, Auburn 3-8. That year, Kansas 2-1, Memphis 6-2, UNC 1-14, UCLA 7-5. By the way, that was the Carolina team that had Danny Green, Tyler Hansbrough, Ty Lawson on it, and the UCLA team with Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, and Darren Collison back in the day. So anyway, those are the 2 years that group of four beats it record-wise, but KenPom pretty much even. And as far as our formula, listen, it's been Auburn, Duke, and Houston from the first week we've done this. every single week they've been the qualifiers, and every single week Florida has been the fly in the ointment, because the only one of those six criteria that they don't hit is the head coach with previous Sweet 16 experience clause, which has only had two exceptions in 34 years. Famously, Kevin Ollie in 2014 with UConn, Danny Hurley in 2023 with UConn. So Todd Golden trying to be the third to buck that, and the only non-UConn coach to buck that. So good on, in fact, if you know, say what you will about the tournament and its lack of upsets all the way, but at least we got this Final Four. How did you do in the bracket challenge, by the way? The VSiN bracket challenge.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Whatever we were, when was I in second place? Halfway through Thursday night?
Yep.
Only downhill from there, my friend.
Guess who would be in second place outright right now if he remembered to hit the deadline on Saturday? That'd be me. I'd be in sole possession of a second. I sent Bill Adia. I said, Bill Adia, I said, well, what do you mean? I thought it said 3:30. I'm so stupid. I'm the stupidest person in the world. The game started at 3:09, but there was something on the website that said 3:30, and I immediately in my head got it messed up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the deadline's 3:30. No, they'll be available to view at 3:30. The games had actually started. So I sent him all my picks. Yeah, I'd be sole possession.
You were texting me when I was like driving around. I was so confused. I was like, I am so confused by what Gil's
just
confused
so stupid.
About.
Matt Brown is your leader in the VSiN thing. Matt Brown, regardless of anything, would be your leader. Matt Brown is at first. Ben Wilson, of those who met their deadline, would be in second. Dan Strauss, third. Bill AD. Oh, no. Wilson, Strauss, and AD all tied for second. You're in fifth.
I'm in fifth.
Yes. You're in fifth.
Wow, okay.
All right, you got a puncher's chance. That's just the VSiN thing. The real standings of actual VSiN listeners, and this is for a $3,000 first prize.
Nice.
$1,500 second, $500 third. Dennis McKay. We only got the first three letters of the last name. 27-9-1 for Dennis. Good for you.
Randy's brother?
Maybe. I don't know if it's McKay or McKinnon. I don't know what it is.
All right.
John Chi, Gary Marr, your second and third place, but 27-9-1, is in first place. And remember, these are weighted. So
if you do
better in the Elite Eight than you do in the Sweet 16, than you do in the round of 32, than you do a round of 64, that matters.
Record with a grain of salt a little bit. Yeah.
Cause by the way, just to let you know, I would have been in second with a 17-17-1 record. That just shows you how ridiculous the weighting can be.
I could also confirm this because Gil sent me his entire homework once he missed his deadline.
I will not reveal the methodology of why I went 3-0 in the Elite Eight, but just trust me.
You should have seen me driving around. I'm getting texts from Gil. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the deadline. I'm like, the deadline's definitely not 3:30 because games started already,
Gil.
And then I got a full handicap from Gil.
Do you ever get a reminder that you are in fact an idiot? That would be mine on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, don't worry, buddy.
That happens to me like daily. Yeah.
Anyway, the other thing that now goes to in terms of trends, historical trends in March Madness, because we followed this one as well. Joe Pita did a great job. By the way, Joe Pita's baseball picks coming up as well. Joe Pita on this show Thursday and Friday, 6-1 out of the gate in baseball for over 5 units. So he's got 4 picks coming up. But he did a great job revealing this KenPom tweet. Ken Pomeroy does not tweet anymore, but Joe Pita unearthed this KenPom tweet from before, which is, hey, if you are a top 1 or 2 seed in March Madness, but you also were not in the AP preseason top 25. You are going into this tournament. You are 0-39 in terms of beating your seeding. So in other words, if you're a 2 seed, you don't get past the Elite Eight. If you're a 1 seed, you don't get past the Final Four. If you were a top 2 seed, but not in the AP preseason top 25. And the logic of that is, again, college basketball is ultimately a small sample size season, and there is some wisdom in that preseason top 25, which we forget completely about, and certainly as gamblers, we don't really pay much attention to.
Totally.
Well, St. John's and Michigan State were the 2 teams that were not in the AP preseason 25 and were number 1 and 2 seeds. They were both 2s, and with St. John's went earlier in the tournament, and Michigan State's loss yesterday means it is now 0-41. 0-41 in terms of those teams exceeding their seeding in the actual tournament when it plays out. It's amazing.
That is crazy.
And I think there is something to that. Again, a lot of these trends don't make any sense, but there is some wisdom in that.
I think you broke it down well last week of just you take a step back and it's a lot smaller of a sample size than we all think it is when you just go through a season.
About these spreads now for the semifinals, for the Final Four on Saturday, What you have here is pretty interesting because in the case of Duke, Duke is 5-point favorite now over Houston. This has even ticked up a little bit since this morning.
Nice.
Florida's ticking up a little against Auburn. It's 2.5 now as well. This is surprisingly short because Jani Broome, for those who missed it yesterday in the Auburn game, Jani Broome got hurt on a play where he managed to wrench, by the way, technical term, both his elbow and his leg in landing. And so he did get back in the game Willis Reed style. He did hit a three, which obviously brought the Auburn faithful to their feet if they weren't standing already. That was a big moment in Auburn's win yesterday. But you do wonder what kind of version we will get of Jani Broome, one of the two Wooden Award winning, you know, candidates all year long, along with Cooper Flagg. Auburn 5-1. They are the long shot now to win it all of the remaining Final Four teams. The one other thing that this weekend in this, because the other games, you know, were just abject blowouts, right? Houston held Tennessee to 15 first half points. They led 34-12 late first half. The closest that Tennessee ever got was 50-40. Duke led 15-5 against Bama right out of the chute. Then it was between 4 and 20 points, which was actually a final margin. Bama never made it a one-possession game at any point. But I will say this, that comeback by Florida, I have something to say about that after the break. I'm curious if anybody else noticed. But that was one of the all-time unbelievable comebacks in a game of those stakes. We'll get into that and some baseball. Torpedo bats, anybody? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
The tournament may be winding down, but the betting action never stops. Major League Baseball's back, NBA and NHL playoffs are around the corner, and the PGA Masters and NFL Draft are just weeks away. The PGA Masters. Stay ahead of every opportunity with a VSiN Pro subscription for just $9.99 and get daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our MLB season betting guide and upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. No matter the sport, VSiN Pro has you covered. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe for just $9.99. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets of beating the book. Always appreciate it. This is from Van Kino Mark. NCAA Survivor's awesome. I've navigated to where we are now. He says, I have Duke and Auburn left. There are 11 entries still alive. 4 cannot make a pick. I guess that means there's 7 alive. 4 only have 1 pick available in the Final Four. And 2 have Duke and Florida. Am I right to take Duke in the semis? I'm not sure you gave me all the information, actually, because I need to know what that pick is that they have available to them.
This
those
is
other
where
four.
It's so tough.
Yeah, I wish I could help. This is where it's so, like, he's I'd so, have to
he,
see. Yeah.
He provided so much info,
and it's still,
and
not,
still
enough.
Not enough. Yeah.
Vegas Vice, I thought your entire first segment would be on your good buddy Oz the Mentalist, who had the Final Four teams in an envelope pick 2 weeks ago and revealed yesterday before the games on TNT. If you followed him on the last two games, you won a moneyline parlay. Oz had not only the Final Four, he had the Elite Eight. I had the Elite Eight, but not the Final Four, because I had Tennessee beating Houston.
I saw.
But he nailed all.
There was an awful announcing article I saw, I was reading yesterday, ripping apart Oz the Mentalist for just like being so tired of this shtick, the same thing on every sport, for, you know, every major sport for the past 2 years.
Except though, isn't this the first time he's ever delved into actual picks?
So that's where they gave him credit though. Yeah. So it was like he's actually predicting ahead. And every time before, it's always just been like something you're thinking of that's right. Happened already.
Because that's what we always said. Was like, oh, you're so good at this.
Did you like my Oz the Mentalist hand things?
If you're so good at this, why don't you tell me who's going to win the World Series?
Could get in this steel trap.
Yeah. let's see. Oh, and then Bill Hooker's trying to make a thing of something. You ready for this? He goes, hey, Gil, why didn't you pronounce Minwoo Lee with an Australian accent a la Jason Day? Because I don't know how to say Minwoo Lee in a Australian accent.
Yeah, it's a little tougher. That's why it's a little tougher.
I don't want to say Jason Day and Adelaide and that kind of stuff. But I can't do Minwoo Lee. I see what you're doing, Bill Hooker, trying to paint me into a corner. I see what you're doing. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, so about the Final Four, though, and I'm just curious if anybody, this has nothing to do with betting, but I'm curious. So we talk about Duke, right? Bama never made it a one-possession game, and it was 15-5 out of the chutes. Houston held Tennessee to 15 first-half points. Tennessee never got it closer than 10. Then there was the Auburn game. It was 8-6 Michigan State. Auburn scored 17 in a row to go up 15. Auburn led basically between 5 and 14 points the rest of the game. Not basically, that's exactly what they led. Between 5 and 14 the rest of the game. And remember, the spread was 5. The only game, obviously, of the final of the Elite Eight, pardon me, that was awesome was the Florida-Texas Tech game. Texas Tech, who had just snatched victory from the jaws of defeat against Arkansas, right, had no business winning that game. Then they turned, and by the way, how many people were saying, well, man, if you're Arkansas, you got to be sick watching Texas Tech beating Florida. But then it gets to 75-66, under 3 minutes left. Florida makes a three to cut it to 6. Texas Tech missed 1-1. Florida makes a three. Texas Tech missed 1-1. These are great free throw shooters, too, by the way. Florida makes a three. We are tied. Just like that. Texas Tech layup, 77-75. Florida makes a three. Florida goes up. That, I think that was the one where Clayton just sort of like did a turnaround jumper. From
that was
the,
awesome.
He just dribbles back to the line, turns around, and shoots it. So Florida's up one. Texas Tech misses a three. They got a foul. Florida makes two free throws. They're up three. Texas Tech misses a three. They got a foul. Florida's up 5 after two free throws. Texas Tech layup to cut it to 3, but then Florida two more free throws. They lead by 5. Then they get the steal. That's your ball game. It's just an unbelievable turnaround. I thought Kevin Harlan, and I know it's sacrilegious to say anything bad about Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, whoa, where are you going here?
I thought he did a terrible job of capturing how unbelievable this was.
Okay, I'm not.
I was like, okay, if this was Ian Eagle, or dare I say, and I'm not no fan of his anymore, but if this was Gus, right, Gus Johnson, this would have been memorable in a way, or not, it's memorable no matter what, but this would have been enhanced just tenfold. And I thought Harlan and crew, for all their supposed excitement, I was like, did they see what I just saw? I don't know if anybody else felt that
way. Okay, so I'm not necessarily agreeing or disagreeing, but I definitely was sitting there multiple times through that run being like, this run's like absurd right now, right?
It was incredible.
And then like the little graphic would come up and you're like, okay, it is absurd. Like I am correct.
Well,
like it's a ridiculous run. Yeah.
It's like over 9-6-3 to tied to leading, and that's the end of that.
Which like usually you don't have to wonder about it though, because yes, you're right. The announcers are usually going so nuts that you pick up on that.
Anyway, just a little side on that. Baseball, we have the baseball thing. We got a lot of
Do you make any bets real quick, though? Final four yet? I did lay 4.5 with Duke. Not big, but...
Unlike the Elite Eight, where I was fading consensus, I have a feeling I'm all about the favorites here as well.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I want to ask you one question about Florida. Florida, how do you feel about this team right now? Because it feels like they're that team who's won a couple games not playing near their A stuff.
UConn and Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, like, is that a concern? Or do you say, hey, this team hasn't even played its best game yet? Like, all three of these teams should be terrified.
Both. It's both. It's totally both. They're capable of really, you know, they could get beat by anybody. On the other hand, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger kind of thing.
Right.
Right. And we've talked about it before. A lot of eventual champions have a lot of close calls along the way, if not at least one. They've got two super close calls in this tournament, and here they are. And again, but per formula, the only thing holding them back is Golden not having coached in the Sweet 16 before. By the way, Michael Montesano, who was here with us, visiting with us last week, he was like, there's something to that, by the way. That's not just some random clause. He felt like in the UConn game, that Golden was getting his bearings.
Mm.
So I don't know. Anyway, it's the best Final Four you could possibly hope for. I want to get this in because we got guests coming up. But baseball, we always say you don't want to overreact to anything that happens in the first weekend of a Major League Baseball season, certainly not the first day or anything. But these torpedo bats with the New York Yankees is definitely the biggest story going in baseball. For those who missed it, the Yankees are 3-0. And in Game 2 on Saturday, they went ahead and hit 9 homers, 4 in the first inning.
So ridiculous.
4 in the first inning, back to back to back to start the game. 4 in the first inning, 7 in the first 4 innings, which tied their all-time record most homers in a game. First 4 innings of the game. And so then it comes out, by the way, here's a picture of what we're about to show. But there is, so it's basically like the bat ate the donut. I heard Dave Ross describing it as such earlier. This is a great description.
Oh, yeah, good call.
It's like the bat ate the donut,
yeah.
Right? They call them torpedo bats. And so we have the tweet. This is a... They have an MIT physicist on staff by the name of Lenny. This is from KJS_4. Yes, the Yankees have a literal genius MIT physicist, Lenny, who is the man, on payroll. He invented the torpedo barrel. It brings more wood and mass to where you most often make contact as a hitter. The idea is to increase the number of barrels and decrease misses. He goes on to say in a subsequent tweet, Just to sort of clarify it even further. Do we have the other one, guys, on this? But he goes on basically to say, you know, like, look, this is all within the rules. This is all within the rules. The MLB has rules on bats, like what the weight drop can be, what the density of the wood can be, and how big the barrel can be. Most guys are using bats that aren't even close to maxing out the barrel size. When Lenny measured my barrel, this is the tweeter talking, compared to what's allowed, I was shocked. So basically the Yankees, this is Kevin Smith, by the way, tweeting, the Yankees are simply playing within the rules here. If this wasn't maximized, and this is what this is describing, then good on the Yankees for figuring this out. Good on Lenny, the MIT physicist, for figuring it out. I'll tell you what it does do, though, from a betting standpoint. It kind of makes me wonder, if I had known this, I probably wouldn't have played any, you know, race to 10s or March, Aprils before teams catch up with this.
I have so many comments and questions about this story for you, because, you know, obviously you're tracking baseball way more than me.
Yeah.
We're just figuring out that just a bigger barrel is going to work better.
100 and some years of Major League Baseball, no one figured this out.
We needed an MIT physicist to figure out that a bigger barrel might lead to a better hitting.
Well, you could still miss the bat, right?
sure you could.
Still have that defense if you're a pitcher, but I'm just saying, like, it's almost as if the Yankees went out, you know, they knew they had this little secret on Saturday, and they're like, okay, whatever you guys do, don't hit four homers in the first. Certainly don't do them back to back to back. And by the way, don't hit nine of these, and also don't score 20 runs, okay? Just because we don't want everybody to notice. They do all those things on Saturday. So they ended up with, I think it's 15 total home runs this weekend. 2-9-4, I believe, is what they had. So anyway, the Yankees are 3-0. By the way, here's the list of, these are the race to 10 and the March-April numbers right now. The Dodgers may make all of this moot. They're 5-0. The Padres are 4-0. The Cardinals, who swept our Twins, and the Yankees are both 3-0. Then the Rangers and Marlins, one of those teams is not like the other. The Marlins, 3-1. That's leading the race to 10 or the March-April. I'm just going to say this right now. The Twins and the Mets, who we have in the March-April and the race to 10, combined wins 1 right now. But we do have White Sox and Marlins as opponents here starting today. So this could change. But I am a little worried that the Dodgers just in general, and then the Yankees with this competitive advantage here early, might make all of this a little moot here in the early going. We'll have to track this, especially with the Yankees, and see what's going on. We'll have Joe Pita's baseball picks of the day, and Carl Sack joins us to talk National Basketball Association. That's next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody on all kinds of subjects. This is from Michael Burns. Oh, Jensen pointed out, Jensen Lewis, who was the host of Buy the Books earlier here with Dave Ross, pointed out that a few other players in the league are using the torpedo as well. Can't remember the names. No, that's my point, was that the league will catch up, right? The league will catch up, even though those guys are already using it. But just, I'm talking about in volume, they'll catch up. We'll see how long it will take for them to catch up with all this stuff.
Hey, Jensen, as a former pitcher, would you find it harder or easier to get a ball past a hitter with a larger bat?
Kelly breaking this down to the Ed2112. The Yankees torpedo bat is baseball's version to the tush push. I have to say, I don't hate it. I don't hate the torpedo bat at all because it's within the rules, and the tush push is within the rules too. The argument you could make against the tush push, though, is that you legislate the defense not being able to do certain similar things, and so that's the one difference. I'm sure a pitcher would then say, "Yeah, but I don't get to scuff the ball either." Well, it's not scuffing. They're making the bat within the rules of what a bat can be.
I mean, it's within the rules.
It's within the rules.
Go for it. Absolutely go for it.
I guess.
I'm just shocked to learn that people weren't already pushing the limits on that.
Let's see. Norman Vegas. Not only are the Marlins 3-1, all three wins were walk-off wins. Yeah, they're getting stolen. They have so many stolen bases against them. 15 stolen bases in the first three games, the Marlins do. So that won't come back to haunt them or anything. Let's see. ND Money. Over the weekend, Will Hill was saying the A's don't have a three-letter city name, just ATH for athletics. I said just go with SAC. That way I can giggle every time I look up and see. Okay, I won't even say that. Chance Copperpot, my first year at Survivor, and I'm still alive in a national contest with only 16 entries left, and the only thing I have left is Duke. I've been traveling, and I didn't map it out. Now my only hope is everyone save Duke for the title. Tom Steffen, regarding the torpedo bat, any kid who played wiffle ball knew this years ago. Little brother got to use the fat bat instead of the standard skinny bat. And then this is about Kevin Harlan. Someone corroborates. This is StatLogic Sports. It says, I think that Harlan was just off because of how bad Bonner and Van Gundy were for both days. He had to do so much to carry those two. He may have been burnt by the end. They were absolutely awful. Maybe. Stan Van Gundy usually gets it right. Bonner, though, whew, he's got a
list. Yeah, I usually like Stan.
He's got a gaff. Bonner does every game or two. And let's say R. Johnson, the realist R.J. Gill, your theory of college football games showing themselves right away played out in basketball. You knew 5 minutes in that Tennessee and Bama were completely up against it, and it never changed. Sure did. This was a tournament of many a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew very quickly it was a blowout. We saw that in three of the four Elite Eight games. Carl Sack joins us now. He was here in town. We got to hang out with him, along with Michael Bonasano, watching Sweet 16 games. He is, in a former life, known as the NBA guru. Now he is applying his trade over there at Killer Sports and KillerCappers.com. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing great, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing well. Was your weekend a fruitful one? Did you enjoy your whole weekend?
It was. It was definitely nice. I think, as we mentioned off air, my laptop pooping out on me was definitely an inconvenience. I'm a creature of habit with certain things, but I'm glad to be home.
I hate when your laptop poops out on you. It's never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you get it fixed. I want to ask you something that we don't normally talk about with you, which is coaching in the NBA. One, the Grizzlies, who currently inhabit the number 5 position in the Western Conference, they went ahead and they fired their coach, Taylor Jenkins. How much of what you do is about, I mean, how much does coaching creep into what you do, handicapping on a daily basis? And did you, when you found out this information, were you surprised by it?
I was surprised by it. As far as how much I factor it in, it definitely is a variable. And especially in the playoffs, you know, different coaches have their strengths and weaknesses. Different coaches have more experience than others. Normally, a team you see in most sports, I'm sure it's not a new concept to you, but I think in most sports, normally teams do respond well that first game after a coach gets fired. We didn't see that out of Memphis when they played the Lakers the other day.
If the Oklahoma City Thunder go 8-0 the rest of the way and get to 70 wins, which again, there's a little fly in the ointment there, because if they clinch home court in the NBA Finals, they could rest guys. They could have the option to rest guys in the final two games. It's looking like it's trending that way. But let's just say, for giggles here, if they won 70, should Mark Daigneault be the coach of the year?
That's a good one. I could see the argument for it, but I think that there's certainly an argument for Kenny Atkinson and what he's done in Cleveland, similar with Bickerstaff in Detroit. I think I saw something the other day that, like, never before has a team doubled their prior season win total or something. I mean, he's done a really good job turning around Detroit.
Kenny Atkinson has crashed. Can we use that word?
Yeah, absolutely.
To minus 280. He was, what, minus 1,500 at one point or something?
Coming off of Friday night where Detroit beat Cleveland straight up, and this was a big shift from them. And this was, you know, what, a week ago when we were looking at 200-1 on Dags?
Yeah, minus 280 on Atkinson, plus 165 now on Bickerstaff, 25-1 on, as Kelly just said, Dags for Coach of the Year. Interesting. What are you looking at today in the NBA, Carl?
These Coach of the Year type awards are very interesting and largely out of my realm in terms of what I pay attention to. You know, they're voter based, they're narrative based. And I'm usually just looking at, you know, how good is a team and how likely are they to win tomorrow? So I would take what I say with a grain of salt when it comes to Coach of the Year discussion. As far as today's card, I think that the Probably the best thing available on the card at current lines is the Miami Heat over the Washington Wizards. Washington is, they are just decimated. They've been the worst team in the league all year by far. Their plus minus is about 3.5 points worse than the next closest to them. Middleton, their best player, is supposed to miss this game, and they've started to experience some cluster injuries. I think they've lost five straight by double digits. Kispert got hurt a week ago. Coulibaly got hurt before that. Now Keyshawn George is out. Anthony Gill is out. You could say, well, maybe Jordan Poole, you know, he's still playing. What about him? Well, they've actually been a better team this year when he's not playing than when he is playing. He just leaves a lot to be desired on the defensive end and takes a lot of unnecessary risks on the defensive end. And Miami's starting to put it together. You know, they've won four straight. They've covered six straight. So I make this number bigger, definitely, than the 9 that's out there on the board right now.
Okay. I'm curious about this, though, because the Wizards are involved in what Kelly and I were going to talk about a little later on. But we always, you know, here on this show, we used to make tanking a sort of cottage industry. We used to call it the Bill Simmons Tankapalooza thing. And it was one thing when it was, you know, when the draft was conducted in a certain way, the lottery was conducted in a certain way, where the team that finished dead last ended up with most of the ping pong balls. And they legislated a bit against that, so we don't talk about it as much. However, these are the NBA's worst teams since the All-Star break. We'll flash this graphic up. This is the Jazz and the Sixers, both 3-18 straight up since the All-Star break. 1-9, by the way, in their last 10. You see the ATS numbers to the right. Nets 4-17, Hornets 5-17, Wizards 7-13, Spurs 8-14. When you are handicapping, do you find stuff like this as a distraction to what you do and it pollutes it, or do you consider it?
Like how a team's been trending recently?
Yeah, so in other words, let's say you have a lean. Let's use the Sixers, right? Let's say you have a lean to the Sixers in a spread on a given day. Do you say to yourself, okay, I'm going with it? Or does something like this get your attention and you're like, well, maybe not?
I dig into it more than just win-loss record. I would be looking at point differential. I'd be looking at strength of schedule. I'd be looking at, you know, how much rest did they have on average in some of these games. But certainly how teams are trending recently matters. You also have to factor in, you know, especially with these tanking teams, they're resting their good players on some nights and not on other nights. And so it, you know, you need to pay attention closely to who's playing and who's not on a daily basis. And like you said, the draft lottery has changed. Now it's just the bottom three all have the same amount of odds. And so I think once you get to this point in the season, it does make sense to pay attention to the standings in terms of who are the bottom three and how likely are they to try and not try. Yeah.
Carl Sack, everybody. Again, lean on the Heat here. Not quite an official play yet, but sure sounded like it was about to be an official play from Carl. The only guy whose picks I will follow blindly in any sport. I'm serious. Carl Sack. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. KillerCappers.com, KillerSports.com. Picks and database, respectively. We'll come back. College baseball with Matt Grissom next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Want to get some Joe Pita bets in here, Kelly?
Torpedo bets.
Joe Pita bets, not torpedo bets.
I'm just gonna I'm obsessed with that.
Obsessed with that bet. All right, so Joe Pita he didn't stroll on in here. I just relayed them. Opening day went 3-0. Then he went 3-1 with his Friday plays. And so, by the way, people were asking Joe for plays on the weekend. He's like, nope, just weekdays with Gilly Kelly.
That was cracking me up. Yeah.
So he's 6-1 to start things. 6-1 out of the shoots to start things. plus 5.19 units thus far for Joe Pita. He's got four plays today. Let me knock these
unofficial
down.
A numbers game daily Major League Baseball handicapper.
No, there's nothing unofficial about it. These are real.
Official.
Oh, you, I thought you said unofficial. Okay.
No, I did say unofficial. It was just Joe. We got to get Joe on the show now. I didn't know he was going to be doing this every day.
I don't think he like wants to come on every day. He's just like, I'll just do them until I start losing. This kind of thing. All right, today he is on. He's got four plays. He is on the Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers, who are taking on the Cincinnati Reds. Little interleague play. Joe's got him at minus 113. You might even be able to find a couple cents better than that now. He is on the Mariners. He's on the Seattle Mariners, also around that very same price. Mariners today at minus 112. Mariners at minus 112, taking on the Detroit Tigers. It's a little higher. It's about a nickel higher than that now. I'm sure Joe would say, please play it still, even only a nickel higher. Padres looking to go 5-0 like the Dodgers. He's got the Padres today at minus 131. Padres are in some interleague, a lot of interleague today. Padres taking on the Guardians. You might even be able to find that a few cents better. Padres are the play versus the Guardians. And the Cubbies, minus 125. Cubbies taking on ATH, the Athletics. Cubbies, he got it, minus 125. It's right on that price right now. So those are your four. Rangers, Mariners, Padres, Cubs. From Joe Pita, 6-1 out of the gates. Let's talk some college baseball. We had this gentleman on before the college baseball season began. And if I recall correctly, he will correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Arkansas, Clemson, and Virginia, I believe, were the three teams he seized on for to make the College World Series and then to win the College World Series. Matt Grissom joins us now. You can follow him on X at Grissom on X, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matty?
I'm doing well. As a Razorback fan and better, coming off a sweep of Vanderbilt, number 14, on the road. First time in Dave Van Horn's history, so feeling good on Monday.
Yeah, Arkansas 26-3 on the season. They ranked second only behind the Tennessee Volunteers in the college baseball rankings. The aforementioned Clemson Tigers 26-5. They're sixth in those rankings. Virginia, maybe not quite the same. Outside of
Virginia is dealing with injuries still, a lot like Florida. Just kind of salvage the season here if you can. Evan Blanco coming back really helped Virginia's rotation. But you're talking about a team that started preseason number two, and they just have not lived up to expectations. But thank God for Texas A&M, because as the consensus number one overall, had a feeling Mike Early may struggle as a first-year head coach. Didn't think they'd struggle this bad. You've got a team that was in the College World Series championship final last year. Most of that team came back, and here they are, just way below 500. On the year in the SEC. I think they finally won their first SEC game this past weekend, albeit they lost the series to Kentucky. So RIP Texas A&M.
You were going back and forth on Twitter with some gentlemen about who you trust right now in college baseball. What's the list?
Yeah, I think you've got to do it. Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU. If you look at the past 10 years, it's typically an SEC team that's going to win it all. You look at teams that are very well balanced. I like to look at Sierra for pitching, XFIP, and then weighted runs created, WOBA, for hitting. I look for teams that are in the top 20 in both, and Tennessee, LSU, Arkansas all fit the bill. And then Kelly Bidlin's Florida State Seminoles are up there as well, and Clemson.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there's some other teams like Georgia and Alabama who are absolutely killing the ball. The problem is their pitching staff. Could they make it to Omaha just swinging the bat? Yes, they could get through any regional, super regional, especially if they're in the hosting picture. The problem is when you get to Omaha and you widen that park, you've got to have pitching. And I think I saw where Georgia is giving up 12 runs a game in SEC play. That's not going to cut it, especially in Omaha. So I like Georgia, Alabama to make it there. I don't think they can win it though with their staff.
Tennessee 4-1 to win the College World Series. LSU, the aforementioned LSU and Arkansas squad, plus 750. Arkansas, one of Matt's preseason plays at 9-1. Clemson, the other one of his two of his three preseason plays, 10-1 to win it all.
Now, Matt, if one were interested in placing a Florida State bet to win the College World Series, I'm asking this for the audience who's obviously interested, would now be a good time, or should that person wait a little bit here on the schedule?
I would go ahead and do it. I think they're coming off a really tight series this past weekend. They're shaky, but they're always a huge favorite, like absolutely ridiculous. They were minus 1,050 in a game versus Miami. I mean, I had to bet Miami plus whatever it was, 560, just out of principle. And Miami actually pulled the upset, but that's for another day. The problem is these books are so out of whack with the lines. They have Jamie Arnold, who everybody knows about, but then they have a really good, actually, who's been pitching as the ace. Florida State is a very complete team. They're doing well on both sides of the ball. Clemson, I think, is just a little bit better. When you look at a pitching staff, Florida State's is really good, especially for the ACC. So I would go ahead and jump on them. I think they can win the ACC, and that's going to put you in that national seed posting picture anyways.
Is there a long shot somewhere, you know, beyond what you've mentioned where you're like, okay, if things broke their way, they might actually be some team to look at and maybe worth a bet?
Man, I've been trying to talk myself into buying into this Anteaters team. UC Irvine, if they can sneak in and get into like the UCLA regional as a 2 seed, I think the Anteaters could do it. The problem is NIL has just really killed the mid-major, and we've seen it across all sports. I just don't think they have the pitching staff to be able to win 2 out of 3 against one of the top 8 seeds. So maybe a bite on them to make the College World Series, but I think you would be better off just waiting on them to get seated in that regional. And that's where you take your jabs at these longer dogs. Like we saw Oral Roberts do it a couple of years ago. I just think it's way too hard for a mid-major or a longer shot to make it to Omaha. It's a tough ask.
All right. For those who are new to this, because we've talked college baseball here on this show for years now, but for those who are new to it, you only have a few games that are being played today, and then tomorrow it's like a massive amount of games. How early do lines come out for individual games?
$1 million question, Gil. Sometimes we get them an hour before the game start. Sometimes you get them the night before. It's super inconsistent. We've kind of chalked it up to maybe it's because of March Madness and them having to have a quick turnaround for these games. But at this point, like we're lucky to get them the morning of games. So it really cuts your handicapping in half. So to really sum it up, it's college baseball is a very chalky sport. Typically, you can make some money in moneyline parlays on the weekends, but during the week, you'll see teams sell out to win. Perfect example. 2 weeks ago, we saw East Tennessee State beat Tennessee to keep them from going undefeated. The week after that, Missouri State, who was sitting at, I think, 10 and 12 on the year, they beat Arkansas in Fayetteville in the 10th inning. So you're going to have these mid-majors really show up and try to beat their quote-unquote big brother of the state or whatever. That's where you can make some money on some fun long shot bets throughout the week. But we put everything on collegebaseballinsiders.com, all the advanced analytics. You can look at a team like FAU or UTSA who is hitting just well above average in weighted runs created. Use our matchup projector, see how many runs they should score, and try to make some money that way. It's all put out there for you. It's absolutely free to use.
The beautiful thing, collegebaseballinsiders.com. So therefore, do you have anything on any of those few games today? And then tomorrow, I guess you don't have anything yet because they're not out consensus wise.
Right. Yeah. I typically don't bet Mondays. This is my catch up day, adjust power ratings, stuff like that.
Okay. Matt, always appreciated, man. And still looking at Arkansas and Clemson. They still might get it done. Appreciate it, man.
Halfway through the season. Can't believe it's already here.
Yeah, man. We all look forward to Omaha. Thank you so much. Matt Grissom, everybody.
Thank you.
Grissom on X, collegebaseballinsiders.com. He does a great job, man. It's a sport that was not catered to in the way it ought to be, and he's sort of filling a vacuum with it.
Doing a great job with the site, and man, it's been great having him on the show the past couple years.
Wes Reynolds will join us on the other side. His thoughts on the Final Four, the tournament gone by, and of course, Minwoo Lee, another long shot winner for Wes. And in parentheses, Kelly as well. Spanky as well. Coming up on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.